Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Hour number two of USA Prepares. Joey's with us. He's in Michigan, and he and I are talking about growing up, what it was like, because Amit Singh asked what influenced me in my life, and Joey and I decided to talk about it. And so I started the public school system in the 1950s. I had a very difficult time reading, extremely difficult. The words would not stay still on the page. They would jump around. And so I was probably the slowest reader in the class for years. And so to keep those words from jumping around, I would put a piece of pink or blue strip of paper underneath each line on the page I was reading, and it kind of helped them stay still a little bit. And so I forced myself, it was embarrassing because I just couldn't read. And Mrs. Fennelli, who was in fourth grade with me, she was one of the best readers in the class. So it was terrible. It was terrible to be the worst reader in the class. So I forced myself to find things that I liked that involved reading. And that was Popular Mechanics, the magazine. There was a catalog, radio, an electronics catalog called Lafayette Radio and Electronics. I read that cover to cover many, many, many times. And I read the owner's manuals of things like lawnmowers and washing machines and you know, how to maintain them. And I was interested in those kinds of things. And as I progressed through elementary school, one of the things I really enjoyed was the competitive nature of the science fairs. And some of the children who were classmates had parents who worked for Bell Laboratories and electronics engineering companies. And I was competing with them, and my dad was a school principal. Now, although my dad knew physics and chemistry, he didn't know electronics the way I wanted to study electronics on my own. So one year I made an analog computer, literally. It was on a piece of pegboard, and it would add, subtract, multiply, or divide any two numbers. And it was analog. It was not a digital computer, and it absolutely worked, and it won first place. I built a lie detector, and I used an analog volt ohmmeter, and I used a vacuum tube to increase the sensitivity of the volt ohmmeter, and a DC power supply, which is dry cells, that would power the vacuum tube. And this would measure the galvanic response across from the tip of the pointing finger on the left hand to the tip of the pointing finger on the right hand. It would measure the body's chemical change based on resistance to measuring current when people were asked those series of questions that you see on TV for lie detecting. And it absolutely worked. And it was analog as well. And then the next one I built was something called a capacity-operated relay. And that was a device that I used a 8.5 by 11 cardboard backer that was on a pad of paper. I covered it with aluminum foil. I had a wire lead to a vacuum tube amplifier. And it would sense the proximity of a body, like a person, getting close to it. So it would be normally off, and when you got close to this, it would force the relay to close, and you could turn on a light, ring the alarm, open a door with a mechanical system, whatever you wanted it to do, but it would throw the relay. And so, you know, you could put, it'd be like putting your hand near a screen and having this electronic system know that you're there. And when you backed away, it would not know you were there. So, and that worked. And that, so all of my projects won first place, and I did them on my own. They were crude looking. I still have them to this day. But that challenged me to compete, to build a better mousetrap against people who had more wherewithal, people who had parents who could do it for them. But I won every time because you could see that I did it. You could see that, you know, it wasn't made in a machine shop. It was made by a guy who had some wood and some screws and some Fonstock clips and some capacitors. And you could see it was homemade, but it worked. And I think that was one of the great things that made me who I am today. The challenge of the situation, which is something that I find in radio every day. No one has a gun to my head saying, you will get up in the morning and you will do radio. I only do radio because I want to do radio. I want to teach. Joey, any comments about your life and how it shaped you in those early days?
Well, my parents. I mean, my dad, he had a very simple philosophy. He tried to prepare you to what you might possibly need as you grow up and go through life. And I mean, it was important that you had hands-on experience. And I think about what you were talking about your science projects. I'm thinking about most people today, most children today, their parents aren't capable of anything. I mean, they can't even put air in their tires. I mean, it's an embarrassing situation as a society where we've grown to. And I mean, you and I talking about aren't going to fix it. The thing I admire the most, again, the Mexican people around here, you can tell when there's a holiday, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, there's 30, 40 cars in their yard. And that's because they're still, and again, the old generation, but their kids and their kids' kids, the kids don't show up because that's a science project our country does. It takes a good working family and tears it apart. You know, there's a phrase, a little sign I have in home, it's where your story begins. Well, our story began because of who our home and who our parents were. I mean, I can see today when you have broken families, who's teaching? When there's not a father and a father, and there's a lot of mothers that are pretty talented and they can use power tools, but do they have the time to teach their children? I mean, today it seems like everybody wants to teach how to be a transgender, not how to fix something, not how to grow a garden, not how to, even if you don't need to grow a garden, your children should know where food comes from. And if you put a seed in the ground and you put effort and energy towards something, you get a result. You get a result that could change your life, teach you how to grow food, teach you why you should grow food. I look at this whole thing and I still, there's only one way to fix it. And the answer I have isn't a very good answer because you can't fix something. You can do maintenance on it, but apparently the maintenance we do to each other doesn't work. I mean, most people, like you tell the story of the guy with diabetes. Nope, I love bread. Well, it won't be until they cut a limb off that they'll quit maybe possibly eating bread. Instead of just cutting back and have bread once a week, nope, I still got to have it five times a week or whatever it was. So our families molded who we are. My favorite times growing up were family get-togethers. You know, my uncle, he had a good-sized hill in his backyard, and he created a little ski hill with a rope hill. So we would drive from Michigan to Chicago. The rest of the cousins would come around, and we all go skiing in his backyard. I mean, can you imagine going to a private little ski resort. And again, everybody looked forward to it. Everybody brought stuff. You know, it was winter time. Sometimes the ride home was 5 or 6 hours, which is normally 2 hours. But it was well worth the effort. And I mean, I always remember how excited I was to go and how devastated I was to go home, to come back to away from all that fun and excitement. And then for the next few weeks, just like school, you like school. I didn't care for school. And there were a handful of good teachers, but then again, for a while, I had the Penguin for a teacher. I mean, we had one nun taught first and second grade, so we went through first grade was the same nun, first and second grade, third grade, the one nun switched out, and then fifth and sixth grade, everything changed at school. Then we went to the public school after that. And they were great teachers. One of my favorite teachers, though, as I grew up and I learned, they promoted a one-world government. And when you're in the informative years, 15, 16, man, that all sounded great. But my favorite thought was when he says, Social Security, how wonderful it is. I said, so let me get this right. I'm going to give somebody my money, let them hold it for 40 or 50 years, and they're going to give it back to me. He goes, yeah, you'll see. It'll be good for you. And I'm like, wow, what's wrong with that picture? Would you give anybody $200 to hold for you, and then when you need it back, they're going to give it to you? I mean, and I don't see, I always knew, even at 16, by the time I'm going to need to get that free money, it won't be there. That was an instinctive trait I happen to have in me. And I'm really fortunate because I have some great intuition. And again, I know whatever's happening is unlike, on the outside, it's one thing, but the outcome of this can't be very good. This has got to be a much, much, much bigger mess coming.
Interesting. You're talking about some of these early years, and it just jogged my memory about my dad telling me that when he was growing up, his mother and father would put the family in the car, and you know, once in a while they would go down to the shore, meaning the ocean. And this was back in the 1930s. Maybe the early 1940s. And those were the days when tires had tire tubes. And you would have a hand pump, kind of like a bicycle tire pump, to pump up the tires if they went flat. And he was telling me this story several times about how this one time they got 7 flats. On the way to the shore, 7 flats. So each time, it was jack everybody out of the car, use the hand jack to jack up the car, use the hand lug wrench to take off the wheel, then dismount the tire so that they could pull the tire tube out, take the tire patch, find the hole, put the patch on. You'd have to light a match to vulcanize the patch onto the tube, then wait till it cooled, then put the tube back into the tire, you know, and then pump it up again. And then once it was pumped up, then what you would do is put the wheel back on the car, tighten the lug nuts, lower the vehicle with the car with the jack, get back in, and 6 more flats just like it to go. You know, what would happen today? Do you think anybody could fix a tire tube, patch it, even know what's wrong, and do that themselves 7 times in one trip? Do you think anybody would do that today? There was a whole...
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight
free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So, class, why did I tell you the story about the 1930s, the trip to the shore where my grandfather and my father and his brothers and sisters went to the shore? Why did I tell you that about the Seven Flats? I remember that story for 60 years. Why? Because what that told me is something. There used to be an old word, and I don't think it's a word anymore, but it's called stick-to-itiveness. And what that means is, you know, if you stay with it and you don't give up, you can probably get through it. Stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness. That was a term that was used in the 1950s and 1960s, maybe even before that. So I decided that I wanted to build a go-kart. Maybe I was 14 years old. And we didn't have a lot of tools, but we had an electric drill. As an old one. And we had some drill bits. And I got a shelf board, 5 feet long, 12 inches wide, 1 inch thick. And I mounted a 3/4 horsepower Briggs & Stratton engine, a horizontal shaft engine to it. And I got a fan belt, and I got a pulley off a washing machine, and I bolted the pulley to a wheel, and for an axle, I used used to have curtain rods that were made with steel covered with brass, and I used that for an axle, and I did not have a clutch. Okay, so when you started the engine, the wheel would turn. So I would have the go-kart rear wheels up on blocks so that when I started the engine, the rear wheels would spin, but they were off the ground. And then I could rock, I could hop in this seat, which was just a board, a backboard, and I could rock this thing off the blocks and off I would go. Steering was a 2x4 with another curtain rod axle, two wheels from an old lawnmower, and one bolt through this 2x4 that would allow me to pivot, and I would steer it with my feet. Okay, so this thing was really primitive, and the brake was just an oak stick, piece of oak flooring, leftover scrap of oak flooring, and I would pull up on this thing, and it would rub against the road, and I could kill the engine and come to a stop. That was my first go-kart. And I used to ride that darn thing all over the neighborhood. And you know what? Nobody called the cops. Was it illegal? Absolutely. It was operating a motorized vehicle on the road without license plates, without inspection, and underage. It was illegal every way you can think of. Nobody called the cops. Actually, the neighbors were okay with it. They thought, wow, here's a guy who is innovative. And they actually thought it was pretty interesting. And it was okay with my parents. Joey, any stories like that?
You're talking about it. I was thinking about one of those issues of Lassie with a little kid. Gets swept away in a balloon, gets caught in a tree. Because he goes to Cub Scouts, he learns how to bring the dog down in a harness, builds a fire, makes a bow, shoots a wild pig, cooks dinner while they're... It was actually 1945 Lassie series. He did all of that. And that's when you're building a country. When you're tearing a country down, you're teaching children how to be transgenders. Because it's okay. And they shouldn't always want to be a winner. I mean, when we were growing up, everybody, the harder you tried, the better the reward. You got an award. That's called winning. Today, winning doesn't exist. And the only way winning exists is if you are an overachiever and they take your stuff and they give it to the underachiever, then they let him win too, because everybody should win. I mean, that's why the world you and I grew up in, we crave so much desire to go back to that doesn't exist. And I mean, how do you even think you can explain to today's people, today's children, today's 40-year-olds, they've never seen that, they don't know. I mean, when you walk in a store and you watch these parents, especially when this all started, they bring their whole family in the store and they put them in harm's way to pick a virus up. Why would you bring your whole family in if you just needed to get necessities? They didn't even think that far out of the box.
Yeah. We'll be right back, and I'll tell you a story about a track loader. I think of it like a bulldozer. And my thought process, and I called Joey, and I asked for his help.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're going in the right direction, but still elevated. Fewer than 2 million American unemployment claims were filed last week, the lowest weekly total in over 2 months since the pandemic began. About 1.87 million workers filed the first-time claims last week, and that's a 250,000 fewer than the previous week. The total number of people claiming benefits as of last week, just under 30 million, and that was a decrease of about 1 million from the week before, suggesting some people are getting back to work despite the ongoing pandemic. Former President Barack Obama speaking out about the George Floyd protests.
I'm urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community.
And former President Jimmy Carter says people of moral conscience have to stand up and say no to a racially discriminatory police and justice system. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
A high-profile GOP lawmaker says protests are one thing, but looting and riots are not, as USA Radio Network's Tim Berg explains.
As protests continue across the country after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, many people, including senators, are calling for peaceful protests as opposed to some of the violence and looting that we saw over the weekend. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says protesting is okay, but looting and violence are not.
Every American has a right to speak and to peaceably express your freedom of speech. What you don't have a right to do is engage in violent rioting. What you don't have a right to do is loot. What you don't have a right to do is light police cars on fire and attack your fellow citizens. And we need law enforcement to be unequivocal that if you do that, you will be arrested, you will be prosecuted, and you will spend a very long time in jail. And we also need systematic law enforcement targeting Antifa and other terrorist groups that are organizing, that are providing assistance. This is a terrorist assault on our country, and rioting cannot be tolerated. It needs to end, and it needs to end now.
And Walmart is taking firearms off the sales floors in some of its stores as protests over George Floyd's death lead to looting in some places. The company saying yesterday that guns will still be sold in those stores, but they're being kept in secure rooms until further notice. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's gonna be sliding.
When today is hot.
Oh, God, you're
take my when you go to the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So years ago we had a drought here in Missouri, and I was telling Joey that I wanted to buy a bulldozer to clear a fire break so that if there were a fire, that our farm would be, you know, somewhat protected from it. And if we had to, we could use this bulldozer to put out a fire. And I told him what I was looking at, and he said, here's what you want to do. You want to get, and he gave me the exact make and model. Happened to be a Caterpillar, which I believe in its day at this time for this particular machine was top of the line. And so we bought a 40-year-old or so Caterpillar, the exact model that Joey recommended. And did I ever use one before? No. No. And did Joey ever use a bulldozer before he used a bulldozer? No. So both of us taught ourselves how to use a piece of heavy equipment. And before we bought a used backhoe, we never had a backhoe. When I was growing up, nobody in my family had a backhoe. So I thought that we needed an old backhoe for excavating and repairing things on the farm. So we bought one, and we bought a track loader, which you can consider a fairly heavy bulldozer. I guess it weighs about 25,000 pounds. Joey, any comments?
You know, Vince, the only way you can learn anything is to try. And today, who tries? You try, I try. The people we tend to, what's the word, congregate around, we all try. You know, I was giggling. I was putting some siding on. I put galvanized tin on my back porch because I wanted to look like it's been there for 40 years. And I was 13 years old when I was helping my dad build a barn, and we were putting the same kind of tin on. Only the tin of 40 years ago was a superior 50 years ago, 48 years ago. The tin was a superior tin, much better quality, much better galvanized. But I'm putting this on, and the one day in particular, because my hips didn't bother me. All right, so when I got done, I come and sat down, and then it dawned on me. It was 32 years, about the same time that my dad died, 32 years ago. But prior to that, I sit here thinking, wow. So at 13, I was getting guidance that I didn't even know I was going to use for almost 40-some years later. And I just get a chuckle out of the whole story because what you and I are talking about, most people, it'll go right over their head. A handful of them, it'll make the difference. And the handful of people that it makes the difference to will enable them to walk upright, not ask for help. And it's okay to ask for help. The sad part of help is that once you ask for it and you learn, you shouldn't have to ask again for that particular help. Ask for a different kind of help. Always try to learn. Always try to increase. You and I both do that. You know, I always chuckle when I hear the do it the Joey way, when we met. And however it is, he invited me over for something. I brought some plants. I brought some books. I brought whatever pictures. But I do that with everybody because I want to see how you're going to treat me. And I don't mind treating you like I want to be treated, but once you cross my path and you mistreat me, I don't even want to talk to you again, not alone help you. I don't even want to talk to you. And I have to say, the one thing is I've gotten older. I've got friends for 40 years, and I got a handful of them because we have different political views. And those people, there's just a handful of those that I still honor our relationship and friendship with, because the other ones, they're completely oblivious, and they want to argue, and I don't want to argue with you. If I'm going to argue, why don't I go take a nap, go get a cookie and have a glass of milk and relax? But if I got to argue with you to be my friend, you're not my friend. And that, again, is the whole situation as our family's pulled apart. Why argue with people? You know, I told one cousin a few years ago, you should go buy a few bags of beans in case they... He says, aren't you going to feel silly? Aren't you going to feel silly? And you have those beans and you don't need them. I says, aren't you going to feel silly if you need those beans and you can't buy them? I says, you know, a 100-pound bag of pinto beans was $32 at the time. So, geez, for $300 or for $100, you could get 300 pounds of beans? How's that feeling silly? And, you know, what's that phrase? Those that fail to plan to fail. I'm not telling you to change your life. But, you know, again, I was thinking about when you and I talk about these people going on $8,000 and $10,000 and $12,000 vacations. Our vacation is doing something around the house. Our vacation is having the extra $8,000 or $10,000, whether it's to buy a tractor, a backhoe, a skid steer, build a little building outside, you know, whatever it is. Those are our vacations. And these people, they got to have a vacation. They got to go somewhere nice because they earned that. We earned it too. And we have different values. And it's not right. It's not wrong. You know, but I'll attribute the values. The one thing we have in common, both of our parents came through the Depression, and our grandparents came here from Europe, different parts of Europe, but they all came with nothing. All they could carry, whatever was in a suitcase, a bag, that was it. And yet they were able to raise families, get a house. Let's make sure we don't forget to talk about the Italian grandma. What's that called? Bon Appetito is their website. And just see, that's a generous, the most generous heart. She's an older lady, 80 plus, 83, 87, I don't know. But how she cans tomatoes, how she makes meals, and she's always interested. She's the matriarch of that family. And I mean, I watched the video, not to learn how to do the tomatoes, but I watched five others just because to watch her reminded me of the family I grew up with. The aunts that were so generous, my grandma. I mean, that's what our life's about. And our life is about your and mine life, sharing ideas. If I don't know how to do something, I call you, hey, you ever did that? Yeah, do this. You call me, hey, do that. Yeah, this is what I would do. Yeah, great idea. And we share that. And why relearn all of that if we can take a shortcut as somebody that already did it? And it just makes you feel good because now you've eliminated all those extra steps. Isn't that how you like to work as well, Ben?
Yeah. And you mentioned the Italian grandmother, and you sent me the video, and I watched it. And this is an Italian grandmother speaking broken English. And someone in her family said, you know, Ma, how about you teach people how to, you know, can tomatoes? And so this senior citizen, she's all dressed, and she says, that, you know, this is step. And she's talking about the step that she's standing on. You know, he made it for me so that I can reach the pot because she's having a tough time reaching this tall tomato stock pot where she's cooking the tomatoes. And at the end, I mean, she's smiling and she's happy and she's saying, this is why you do what you do in broken English. And then she says, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for, you know, all that you do. Nobody, she's thanking the audience.
For watching.
And thank you so much for all your help. And there's nobody to thank other than her family, right? But she's thanking all the watchers of this video. And that was the way it used to be.
She's waving. She goes, it's me. It's Gina. Hi. It's a me. It's a Gina. I mean, and I hear that playing. I've been, you know, working around the house for the last week. And I laugh and I giggle when I think of that. I can hear that voice repeating itself. Yeah, it's a me, it's a Gina, hello. And I mean, yeah, it's beautiful. And I mean, that's the difference between old school, new school. And I'll have to assume we run on analog and all today's kids are running on digital. And I think those frequencies, you brought that word up a while back, those frequencies make a ginormous difference in how we act and react to each other's emotion.
You know, Joey, in the studio, which is part of our farmhouse, I have a clock. And I have to have a clock in order to know what I'm doing because radio is unforgiving when it comes to time. And the clock that I have on the wall is an atomic clock, but it looks exactly like the school clock that we had in the 1950s. It's got it's large, you know, maybe over a foot in diameter. It's got a white dial, black large numbers, black hands, and a red second hand. So I really like analog. I have a watch. It's not a digital watch. It's an analog watch. I don't have a digital watch. I don't want a digital watch. It doesn't seem to work for me. So, I am stuck in analog. Now, Joey, not all the times that we had growing up were pleasant. And I've told the story once, but I broke down with my car when I was probably 17 years old. And my dad was in World War II, and he was a first sergeant. And he was a very peaceful guy, about 6 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, very athletic, fit and trim. He, you know, in his 40s and 50s and 60s, he was still fit and trim. Well, I broke down and I walked to a payphone with my car. I said, "Hey, Dad, my car won't start. Can you come help me?" I said, "Okay." So he brought some tools, and I was in an area that I hadn't been before. And so he showed up, and we had the hood raised on my car, and we were under the hood. And we saw this gang of ruffians coming toward us. And it looked like they were going to give us a real hard time. So my dad took two wrenches out of his back pocket. He kept the biggest one. He gave me the second biggest one. He said, "We're going to get hurt." He said, "But you see that little guy right there? This is going to be bad. We are going to get hurt." He said, "We're going to have to kill him. So concentrate everything you do on him. And I will too." And so when they came to us, and they were looking for a fight, and we were outnumbered, probably seven of them and two of us. And they were pretty big, except for this one little guy. My father indicated to the group by telling me, you know, it's like leaning to me so they could hear, "All right, so this is going to be terrible, but see that little one?" And he pointed to him with his wrench. "We're going to kill him." And you know what? They backed off. And that's the way, I mean, it wasn't all that pleasant. You know, it's kind of funny to talk about it now. But that was a whole different generation. And that's the generation that we were raised by. No, we weren't looking for fights. We weren't looking to get over on anybody. We weren't part of the synagogue of greed. We just wanted to do the best we could and be left alone. That's what we wanted, Joey. And I mentioned to you, and I'm fine with sharing this, I said that my grandparents on both sides came from Italy. So if someone were to say, so if you were to trace your ancestry, what would it be? I would say Italian, 100%. But I said to you, Joey, you know, the Italians and you're Polish. I said, "Boy, you know, if I had a choice to come back, I'd like to come back as Italian or Polish. Either one's fine with me. Because I have a tremendous respect for the ingenuity, the hard work, the stick-to-itiveness of both of those countries." Do you have any comments about that? Please do when we come back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Couple quick comments. You know, every once in a while I'll look at the Ron Gibson channel, thumbs up and thumbs down, to see how many people dislike or like what we do. Most of the time we get, I'd say 25 to 50% thumbs down. And but we have stick-to-itiveness. That doesn't deter us at all, you know, the negatives. I'm very interested to see, and I will check today and maybe tomorrow, to see how many thumbs down we get on this particular broadcast, Joey. When I went to high school, I went, you were taught by nuns, I was taught by brothers. And the nuns would wear black robes and white collars. The brothers were the men version of the nuns, and they would wear black robes and white collars. So I was taught for 4 years by the Jesuits at the high school level, all men high school. And to go to school, there was a dress code. And the dress code was really simple. Jacket, solid color shirt, long sleeve shirt, haircut, tie, belt that matched the shoes, polished shoes. That was the uniform. You could have anyone you wanted, but you had to have a dress shirt, a sports jacket, or, you know, a sports coat or a dress coat, slacks that matched. Everything had to match, and you had to have shoes, leather shoes, and they had to be polished, and you had to have a belt on. If you forgot the belt, there were demerits involved. If you forgot your tie, there were demerits involved. If you forgot your jacket, there were demerits involved. Nobody wanted to forget anything. And what we got for violating the dress code was something called a Saturday. And a Saturday was 8 hours of raking leaves, 8 hours of painting a barn, 8 hours of manual labor. Hot, sweaty, awful labor. Nobody wanted to get a Saturday. That's the way it was. Joey, any comments about me becoming Polish or the high school experience?
To answer your question, we didn't get demerits at school, but my dad would give us those same demerits if we didn't get our task addressed. We got extra work to do around the yard. But back to the ancestry part, Polish, Italian, I don't think that has anything to do with who you become. It's your honor and integrity, something you tend to like to promote a lot. It's who the people were that raised you. Because I know a lot of very talented people from every aspect. I had a guy call me the other day. I had some stuff for sale in the yard. He says, yeah, y'all got you one of them backhoe buckets? He says, I'm looking for me a backhoe bucket. Well, I got a feeling I know his ancestry. And the guy was awesome. I mean, he was awesome. He says, I won't be getting me one of them shots. If they come around with that COVID, no, I don't want that shot. And I mean, I don't care where you come from. I don't care who you are. There's always good people and there's always bad people. And that's the one thing that's a privilege of our country, that we have a mix of people. But it's who raised us, I think, has more of an important value than the school. And today's schools, they teach you all kinds of nonsense. They teach you worthless endeavors. Especially in the grade schools, when they're promoting, what's that called, transgenderism to children? That's not a child's decision to make when he's 5, 7, 12 years old, whether he wants to be a boy or a girl. He was born a particular way. When he gets to be an adult, if he wants to be a girl, great. If you're that ignorant, God bless you. And that means he will be lessened. Is what he will be. Being blessed is to be lessened. But I truly believe our parents had a major influence on who we were. I mean, you know, tell you the story, Vince. When I left you the one time at Ziggy's after one of your roundup meetings, I went over to your ma, I gave her a hug, and I said, thank you for raising Vinny the way you did so he could be who he is. She looked at me, and that's why the next time I seen you, I brought those rhododendron flowers, because the look in her eyes, nobody'd ever said that to her. And those flowers were to represent you guys and her when she was gone. And I mean, who thinks that far ahead? I do. You do. And if you don't think that way now, how are you going to think that way later? And when you don't get to go to a store and you have to make ends meet and fix something because it's not on the shelf, it's going to be real difficult. And, you know, I'm sad for a lot of people that are just too ignorant to wake up. And I don't feel I have to help somebody's one thing, but to take food out of my mouth and help somebody that's too ignorant or lazy. You know, right now, everybody should be going on YouTube and learning how to. I've been canning food. I don't know how to can food. I watched some videos. That Michigan Snow Pony Girl has one of the best meat canning videos. And that's how I learned. You learn that way. And we're learning, and you better be learning why all this knowledge is available. I guess it's over, huh? I guess, thank you. Be safe.
Well, you know, Joe, I can't believe 2 hours. 2 hours went by so quickly. So maybe we should do this again. Talk about some more of what we were exposed to and what makes us the way we are. I'm stunned that 2 hours is gone.
That's
Joey,
usually how our conversations go when you and I are on the phone with
me. For hours, yeah. Joe, thanks so much. We'll do it again. Joe in Michigan, my very dear friend.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management.
You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.